The value of fairy stories. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today, the value of fairy stories. Fairy tales have been around for seemingly forever. These are stories that parents tell to children to explain the facts of life, to explain the rhythm of nature, to explain how when you do good things happen to you. And even when you do good things and you are a very good person, that when bad things seem to come along and try to take your life over, that the bad things cannot persist and win, good will come out in the end. These are the Grimm's fairy tale stories. These are the fairy tale stories of folklore that go down throughout history. Fairy tales are always the idea that with a happy ending, and they will live happily ever after. The story begins once upon a time, and then it ends, and they lived happily ever after. Once upon a time, and they lived happily ever after. Well, to begin any story, you have to start it somewhere, so you say, once upon a time. And in saying, once upon a time, you are saying that one time, this was a thing that happened. And this thing that happened was quite exciting, quite interesting, quite dramatic, and quite beautiful, but it happened one time, and it was just a very exciting thing. So, we have the story about Cinderella, and we think the story of Cinderella is just as charming as can be, but here this poor girl, she lost her daddy, which was not a very nice thing. She lost her mommy first, then she lost her daddy, and then she had gained a wicked stepmother, and here the house really should have gone to her, but it went to the stepmother because she married the father. And the stepmother did everything that she did, and she was a mean old stepmother because it made the story more interesting that way. And, of course, the mean old mother had two mean daughters that learned from the mother how to treat Cinderella as an outcast. Now, Cinderella, as the story goes on, continues to be her beautiful, beautiful self, loving, gentle, always considerate, doing whatever she's told to do, doing whatever her stepmother tells her to do and what her stepsisters tell her to do. And she has no friends, she has no one to confide in. She lives in the worst part of the house, and in the worst part of the house where she lives are many critters. There are mice and rodents and birds and all sorts of beings. And instead of being unhappy with these critters that other people want to chase out and kill, she befriends them, and she makes clothing for the mice. Can you imagine such a silly thing? Well, why not? In fairy tales, we can do anything. She makes clothing for the mice. She does all sorts of beautiful things. And then comes a time for the great ball where the prince says every maiden must attend. And she wants to attend. But her wicked stepmother and wicked sisters, they use her time to such a degree that she cannot make her dress. She cannot prepare it in time because she's working for them. And feeling sad and feeling left out, she goes to her room, and who should appear but her fairy godmother. Now, you say, sure, that's fairy tales, fairy godmother, and fairy princesses appear and so forth like that. Yes, that's true. But you see, when we persist in our belief, what might appear to us to be a normal experience, a normal being, is really a fairy godmother. It's really something conjured out of the phantasm of our mind, out of the magic of our mind. And this fairy godmother is a lovely fairy godmother, and it doesn't just give. It gives with limitations. And that's the limitations we put upon ourselves, of course. And it gives with limitations and says, now, we will make this wonderful carriage and these wonderful horsemen and everything, and the wonderful gown and the shoes, and you go to the dance and you'll be the princess of the ball, but you must leave by midnight or else everything will turn back to the way it was. Well, now, we put these limitations on ourselves, and we put these limitations on the fairy tale because we want to make the fairy tale more difficult. We want to make it more like life is. And, of course, it really is like life is not. Life is the living happily ever after. That's really what life is all about. But we have built up such a number of little calamities and trials in our life experience that we think that we cannot live happily ever after. But we can, because just like in Cinderella, the prince wanted to find that beautiful being that he danced with and fell in love with. He wanted to find her from among all in the countryside, all in his kingdom. And the prince didn't go out looking himself, you notice that. He sent his henchmen, he sent his minister out to find the girl. Because, you see, the prince held her in his arms, in his heart, and he would not go searching for her. He just said, she is there. And, lo and behold, even though everything would seem, even at the last minute, that they could not let her put the slipper on because they broke it, but she had the other one, and she brought it down and showed the slipper. And the minister said, surely this must be the lady, and brought her to the prince, and they lived happily ever after. You see, the value of fairy tales is that it gives us an outlet of being creative and being outrageous in our thinking, of being something contrary to what we experience from day to day. If we could live in a fairy tale world, truly, if we could live in a world of magic and a world of illusion, of the happy, harmonious things that we want to have, we would have them. We would have them. Because just like in Sleeping Beauty, the prince finds her. And all the things that might have dissuaded him from looking and dissuaded him from going there, he heard that she was there, and he went, and there she was. But you see, he didn't search through the jungles, he didn't search through the forest, he didn't search through all of the kingdom. He merely knew that his queen would be there, his princess would be there waiting for him. We can all learn to tell fairy tales and tell them in a very beautiful way. Why do you think fairy tales persist in the cultures of nations around the world? The cultures of China and Japan, of Asia, of India, the cultures of Europe, the cultures of the Indians in North and South America, the culture of peoples all over the world have fairy tales in them. Because the fairy tale is not something that cannot happen. It is something that happens far more often than we recognize it. Because by the time it begins happening, it seems to be the most natural thing in the world. And truly, it is the most natural thing in the world when it is something that we have persisted in our consciousness, persisted in our thinking, persisted in our awareness that that is true. We have believed it. We have stayed with it. We have taken that belief and made it ours. Oh, some people say it's fantasy world, it's a dream world. True, every world is a fantasy world, a dream world. Silly scientists say that we'll fly to the moon, and we did. Silly scientists say that we will go faster than the speed of light, and watch, as time goes on, we'll do that. And silly scientists say many things, and then they go out and prove it. And so, with these fairy tales, with the belief that life is good, and all the people are good, and all of us are divine, and all of us are God, and all of us want to express in everything we do all the goodness that we are, when we can persist in that sort of a thinking, in that sort of an action, then that will be the mystery that reveals itself in our life. That will be the unbelievable experience that becomes an everyday happening. How many people would believe that there is water underneath the Sahara Desert, yet not too many feet below the surface of the Sahara Desert is a virtual lake? How many would believe that flowing down the tops of the mountains are the crystal clear water, so beautiful and so clear and so wonderful to drink, and yet people don't realize it? Oh, they realize it, they know it, but by the time it gets to where the people are, it's muddy and turbulent. It has traveled a long journey, and in that long journey it has picked up a lot of dirt. It has picked up a lot of the sewage and other things along the way, and has become nothing but a drain. When the water is funneled from the mountain through great tunnels that keep it from picking up dirt along the way, it comes down into the cities and is pure and beautiful. It is pure and useful to the world. Now, who would have ever thought of this? Well, it goes back into ancient history. It goes back into the days of the aqueducts. It goes back into the days of where people had drainage and they kept the waters for themselves pure and beautiful. And then people in lower lands who were supposed to receive the water, because of riparian rights, they didn't have the privilege of having the water come down onto their land except in overrun or over runoff. Well, you see, as mankind has more dignity toward mankind, mankind takes the gift, mankind takes the treasures that it has and shares them with all the world. And as the pure water running off the mountain once becomes channeled in the aqueducts and remains free from all of the pollutants that are around it, it comes into the homes of downland cities, pure and beautiful. A fairy tale? You think so? Fairy story? It was done historically. It goes way back into the days of the pyramids. It goes way back into the days of early mankind. It goes way back into ancient history. And it's not a matter of saying that it can't be done. The water could appear right out of the ground as an artesian well, pure and beautiful, if that were the choice. But we all choose the pathway that our good is to come to us. And some choose the pathway of a fairy tale. Some choose the pathway of an aqueduct. Some choose the pathway of a wonderful artesian well. Some choose the pathway of all sorts of things and all sorts of ways in which they bring their good to them. What pathway have you chosen for yourself? What pathway have I chosen for myself? That is revealed to us in the life that we live, in the experiences that we have. Our pathway is a pathway of magic. Our pathway is a pathway of absolute wonder and joy. What is that pathway for you? How is that pathway in your life? How is that pathway expressing itself for you? Is that pathway expressing itself for you as the aqueduct or as the water from the artesian well? Is that pathway the glass slipper that proves to the prince that you are the princess? Is it the kiss that Sleeping Beauty receives from her prince that awakens her instantly, and instantly everything becomes beautiful once again? Yes, fairy tales are fairy tales, but fairy tales are the imagination of humanity, historically and eternally, knowing that the finest, the best, and the most wonderful things will always come forth. But it's just a matter of, do we stand for them? Are we willing to carry out our dream by listening to the divine within us for the pathway that it is to be revealed to us? Will it be the aqueduct or the artesian well? Will it be the kiss of the prince, or will it be the glass slipper? What will it be? What little magic item will be that which assures to us that our fairy tale is living happily ever after. Think about these things. They're wonderful. The value of fairy tales, whatever value we give to them. Have a wonderful day, a wonderful life, and a wonderful world, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.